This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. With me now on our First Advantage hotline, our Broncos insider, Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. Zach, the search begins. George Payton and company not wasting any time as far as requesting interviews and such. Jared Mayo, linebackers coach for the Patriots, and Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, as you tweeted out 7 minutes ago exactly, are the first names up on the list. You're feeling like Dan Quinn's name is really rising to the top instantly, don't you think?
Yeah, Dan Quinn is definitely the front runner, and thanks for having me on, Brady. And the reason for Dan Quinn is, well, a few reasons. He has some past connection with George Payton. In fact, there was almost a scenario where George Payton was going to join Dan Quinn down in Atlanta to be a head coach, general manager combination, and that was going to be Dan bringing George along with him. Now it would be the opposite, George bringing Dan along with him. And when we talked to George Payton yesterday, everything he said, Brady, pointed to Dan Quinn being the guy. And now I think a lot of people are saying, Wait. This is a defensive guy. The Broncos need offense. That's not what George Payton said. George Payton's number one thing that he's looking for is leadership. Leadership. And when you talk to people that were around Dan Quinn in Atlanta, that's what they say, is Dan Quinn was a leader when the times were good, when the times were bad. He was a leader. Additionally, George Payton said he doesn't care if they're offensive or defensive side of the ball. Of course, they're going to have to bring a good offensive plan around him. And when you look at Dan Quinn, while he's not going to be managing the offense, he had a top 10 offense in every year but one when he was down there in Atlanta. So that's a selling point that Dan Quinn will be able to bring into the interview and say, look, I'm not going to be calling plays on offense, but I know how to identify offensive coaches and offensive talent.
Zach, does that rule out then? I mean, I know Jared Mayo's in the mix, but does that rule out potentially first time head coaches?
Yeah, I do think it hurts first time head coaches. I don't think it rules them out, but isn't it easier to tell leadership when a guy's already been in a leadership position and succeeded with that? So I definitely think it gives a leg above to a lot of people. And I think that's kind of encouraging for a lot of Broncos fans. Look, Vance Joseph, not a first-time head coach when the Broncos hired, or was a first-time head coach when the Broncos hired him. Same with Vic Fangio. Same with Josh McDaniels. None of those guys worked out, and not just for that reason. But I do think that the guys that have the past experience will benefit from that.
Talking to Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. So on that same token, as far as George Payton's talking about leadership, does that also lead us to believe that he didn't believe Vic Fangio had that? Because I know the defensive locker room, Shelby Harris sticking up for him on Twitter and everything, but did Vic lack leadership there? Was he not the leader overall for this team?
Yeah, he was the defensive leader, exactly like you said, Brady. He was the defensive leader that the Broncos needed, but he wasn't the head coach. And now the Broncos, when they want to hire their next guy, why they're okay going defense again is because they're going to go more the CEO-type defensive leader where, yes, he may call plays on the defense. He may be more in the defensive meeting rooms than the offensive meeting rooms, but he's still going to give a lot of attention to defense and special teams, or offense and special teams. And with Vic Fangio, he was brought here. It's not necessarily his fault. He was brought here to keep the defense great. That's what John Elway said. So the message coming from the general manager, the guy that's hiring him, is completely different. It's not bringing Dan Quinn or Jerod Mayo in here to say, keep this defense great. It's going to be lead this team, not just the defense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It does seem like there were mixed messages from the beginning. I mean, you hire Vic Fangio and then you draft Drew Locke. I mean, two totally different situations there. So, I mean, the thinking there was bizarre from the get-go. Other candidates in the mix. I really like the idea of Byron Leftwich, and I know a lot of people throw out he's with Tom Brady. But they were a top-five offense when Jameis Winston was there. And, of course, Jameis was through 30 picks and all that. But I don't know. Maybe I liked following his career, and it seems like he has some quarterback coaching experience and whatnot. Is he a realistic candidate?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is a realistic candidate. And look, when you look at guys, there are going to be guys that don't have head coaching experience, but that should not eliminate them off your list. If the Broncos did that with Sean McVay, well, then they really messed up, because Sean McVay has had a ton of success. So it shouldn't just boil down to, have they been a head coach before? Yep, okay. Well, then they're on our list. If they haven't, then they can't be. And Byron Leftwich is a very interesting name because he does have that experience. And like you said, I want to look past guys, I don't want to look past guys that have had success with a very good quarterback. I want to see what else they've done, though. Byron Leftwich did have success with Jameis Winston. You look at Nathaniel Hackett. Mm. Of course he's having success with Aaron Rodgers. He also has Matt LaFleur calling the plays, and he seems to be a good head coach. But you know something about Nathaniel Hackett? Is he made Blake Bortles a top five offense in Jacksonville. So that's actually what excites me about Nathaniel Hackett potentially being a Broncos head coach, is what he was able to do with terrible quarterbacks. That excites me more than what he's able to do with Aaron Rodgers. So, yes, if you just look at a guy and say, oh, he had success, and I don't care who the quarterback was. If it was a great quarterback, I want to see what more they've done. But I'm not just going to knock a guy off my list because he's had success with Tom Brady, and, of course, that was all Tom Brady. No, you're going to miss out on some good candidates if you do that.
Nathaniel Hackett's interesting, too, because in the pipe dream scenario of getting Aaron Rodgers, is that any part of the thought process there? Because I've almost ruled out the idea of Rodgers, really, to be honest, Zach, because, you know, Rodgers, if he stays in Green Bay, the odds are he's going to have a chance to win a Super Bowl, perhaps we just say for the rest of his career.
He would be crazy to leave Green Bay. I mean, what more do you want? You have a head coach that you really like. You have a situation where now they are really adapting and giving you everything you want. And you have some great weapons on your team. And right now you're the best team in the NFL. So I agree. I think he'd be crazy. I'm not counting on Aaron Rodgers being a Denver Bronco either. And that's how the Broncos have to approach this head coaching position. Whether we're talking Nathaniel Hackett and his ties with Aaron Rodgers, whether we're talking Dan Quinn and his potential ties with Russell Wilson, whether we're talking Brian Flores and his potential ties to Deshaun Watson. You cannot hire a head coach in this cycle based on this dream scenario of getting a really good quarterback who's under contract with another team right now. Now, that's a nice little bonus. If you get Nathaniel Hackett, you fall in love with him, he's your number one candidate, you bring him on board and he says, hey, I think I have a better shot of getting Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay than anyone else. That's a great bonus, but you cannot do that because I'm right there with you. I think all of those three scenarios are dream scenarios. And let's say you hire one of these guys because you think they can bring that quarterback here and they don't. Well, now you're stuck with a head coach that you only like because of a quarterback he could bring. And now that quarterback you're not going to be able to get. So that would put you in a terrible situation. So you can't do that. It can be a nice cherry on top, but man, you got to eat the sundae first before getting there.
Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, my guest. Zach, Brian Flores, you mentioned that name. I was pretty shocked. Now, I'm not saying he was gangbusters, no doubt about it, amazing, but it did seem like he was on the right trajectory. And then, of course, this year they were winning games left and right to put themselves even in that conversation when, to start the season, they were one of the worst teams in the league. So, the way he handled the Tua, Deshaun Watson quarterback thing was interesting, but that name is a big name on everybody's list that's looking for a head coach this morning.
Absolutely. I mean, talk about a up-and-coming candidate a couple of years ago when the Dolphins took a chance on him. And now he gets all of his rookie mistakes out of the way, and it wasn't a crash-and-burn type of situation that got him fired in the first place. No, I mean, he nearly had a 500 record with the Dolphins. I actually think he outperformed with that team in terms of the talent they had. And now it's going to be interesting. I think there's already some things that have come out about how he, you know, didn't have any relationship with the quarterback and the general manager. I expect those type of things to come out. If you dive into those and find out that those aren't true, then man, Brian Flores has to be near the top of everyone's list. I would expect the Broncos to reach out to him because, man, he is a really good potential candidate. Just like you said, I was actually really surprised that Brian Flores was fired. If their season had gone the other way, where they went on a 7-game win streak and then a 7-game losing streak to end the season, of course I wouldn't have been surprised. But the fact they did the opposite and they beat the Patriots yesterday, I mean, I'm very surprised. He's a guy that definitely seems to have those leadership abilities that George Payton's looking for, and that's why I expect him to be on the Broncos list at some point.
It's almost like the Dolphins organization drew their line in the sand and basically said, hey, we're getting behind our coach or our quarterback, and they chose their quarterback. And I mean, we know those,
and I don't blame them.
Right. I mean, they believe in him. They want to see if he can grow, and if you can't get that connection, it might not mean that both are terrible. It just means that they couldn't connect with each other. So who knows there. All right, so of the names we talked about, we're missing some other names too. What, Doug Peterson's in the mix? I've heard Jim Caldwell's name in the mix. Where are you at, man? Top three candidates at this stage, and I know interviews are coming.
Yeah, my number one, and this is a number one by leaps and bounds, is Doug Peterson. And I think he should be at the top of the Broncos list as well, even though I think Dan Quinn's there. But Doug Peterson has everything you could want as a potential head coach, especially for the Broncos. He's got that offensive mindset. Not just the offensive mindset, he's a guy that is very creative. I mean, the Philly special, that was him right there. Broncos tried to do their own version of it and failed pretty miserably earlier this year. But he also is a proven guy where he will adapt to the quarterback's needs. Look, he had Carson Wentz playing at an MVP level, and then he gets hurt, and he leads Nick Foles to a Super Bowl, completely changes the offense for him. And not only that, but he developed Carson Wentz. And when Carson Wentz had his best seasons, it was under Doug Peterson. He identified him in the draft, drafted him, and then brought him up. So quarterback development, getting exceptional play from a quarterback, he has that. And then what happened when Doug Peterson left? Carson Wentz, you know, fell apart. So I love that part of him. I also love the leadership part of him. Doug Peterson's a guy that everyone loves, has led his team to a Super Bowl. So he has the offensive mind, he has the quarterback experience part, and then he also is a great leader. So I think he checks off every single box. Saying that, I think the unfortunate part is I think that's how everyone is going to view him. I think he's going to be every single team's number one candidate, and he's going to be able to choose where he wants to go. The Broncos do have a lot of attractive pieces for a head coach, but they don't have the quarterback position. So if another team has a better quarterback situation, I have to imagine that's where Doug Peterson goes. But he would be not my number one as well. And look, I'm very interested in Brian Flores as well. And it's hard for me to take my personal belief now away from what George Payton's looking for, because I think we're both looking for very different things. I would be looking offense, offense, offense. But I think for a non-offensive guy, Brian Flores is very interesting. Nathaniel Hackett. And another name I'm going to throw out there is Brian Callahan, Cincinnati's offensive coordinator. He was there to draft Joe Burrow. He has helped groom Joe Burrow. He's a 37-year-old guy. So if you want a young young offensive mind, Brian Callahan is probably in there, along with Kellen Moore. But in Jim Caldwell as well, he is definitely the CEO type of person. There's a lot of names, and Brady, I think the Broncos are going to interview nearly 10 people. They're really going to look everywhere.
Well, this should be a lot of fun to talk about it. Last one for you, Zach. What does this all mean for Drew Lock? He's under contract. Is there any scenario, any chance you could see him being the starting quarterback next year?
Man, I think that scenario is if plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D doesn't work out, then they go to Drew. You know, what happened all season when Vic Fangio would talk about Drew Lock? He never really said glowing things about him, right? And I know that really got under the skin of Broncos fans, and people didn't think it was fair. Well, yesterday, when we talked to George Payton and he was asked about Drew, I thought we were talking to Vic Fangio. I mean, he said, you know, a couple of good things, but then he really harped on the job of a quarterback is to win, and Drew did not win. He did not get that done. I mean, I thought this was Vic talking to us about Drew just because of all the good things he could have pointed to. Instead, he really focused on the bad and how the Broncos could have done better under Drew. So I really got vibes that they're going to try to completely overhaul this quarterback room.
Yeah, that says it all, doesn't it? I mean, if you read, you don't even have to read between the lines on that side of it. So we could be in for a lot of new surrounding the Broncos. Zach, I know we'll get more into I want to get into contracts with you, too, because you know everybody's saying, hey, the defense should just pick up right where it left off. There's some key pieces first the Broncos will have to secure if that's the route they want to go. So I want to get into that with you maybe later this week. As the interview process process rolls on for George Payton and these Denver Broncos. We'll be looking out for your Twitter, my friend. Nobody does it better. You are just absolutely dominating when it comes to Broncos reports, man. And we love following it. We love having you on the show.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Hey, I thought for a second there you were going to say talking contract. I thought we were signing me to a contract here.
Maybe a five-year deal, you know, five-year deal.
We'll look at
something like that. You know, we'll get our people over to your people ASAP.
Let's go, baby.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Sounds great.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Man, he's good. He's good. I've been following his stuff, and he's hitting up all the interviews. Everybody that's going to be doing interviews, will be thinking about doing interviews with George Payton. Zach's going to be the guy that's diving into this more and more. Right now, here's what we have. We do know that he is set to interview. They're requesting interviews with Jerod Mayo, the linebackers coach for the Patriots, and Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. And it sure sounds like Dan Quinn, for day one of the search, is up top. And I'm not saying that this would be a bad move. I'm just saying that I, for one, kind of want to go the McVay Shanahan route, give it a try. I'm not saying that just because they're young, they're going to be McVay or Shanahan, but you don't know if you don't try. So I'm kind of interested to see the opposite of the retread thing. That does not mean I'm not for if they hire Dan Quinn, this is not Vic Fangio. I was not for the Vic Fangio hire. If Dan Quinn's the guy, I'm here for it. 12:52 the time. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I'll wrap up hour number one. Nuggets, they win two in a row. Our team's figuring out something while Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are out. Somebody's going to have to figure out something else on the other side for Denver. We'll talk about it next.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary. Weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.